Blog Talk Radio.
Stonehenge monument on the stage that was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now!
I'm not really sure this was such a great idea. I mean, I don't feel any better than I did at the hotel.
He was going to do a TV special from here before he died.
Hello.
Yeah, that's right. A musical version of Somebody Up There Likes Me. Mm. Well, since my baby left me, I've found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel.
Do it with the harmony parts.
All right.
Well, since my baby...
The same key, though, I think.
Well, since my baby left me.
If I'm going,
since my baby left me.
No, you can't hit that note.
Since my baby left me.
Well, I found a new place to dwell.
That's all right.
Well, it sounds raga. You don't want to go raga.
No, not with this, it don't.
It does.
Well, since my baby left me.
It sounds fucking barbershop.
Well, hey.
Barbershop raga.
Watch the language.
It's a new hybrid.
The king.
Sorry. Oh, this is terribly depressing.
Well, it really puts perspective on things, though, doesn't it?
Not too much. There's too much fucking perspective now.
like a man, hit like a hammer, she's a juvenile scam. Never was a quitter, treated like a ranger. She's got the look. Na 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 na.
Play all these, or?
Well, I play them and I cherish them.
Mm-hmm.
This is at the top of the heap right here. There's no question about it. Look at the flame on that one.
Yes.
Look, I mean, it's quite unbelievable. This one is just, it's perfect. 1959. You know, it just, you can listen.
How much is this?
Just listen for a minute. Sustain. Listen to it.
I'm not hearing anything.
You would though if it were playing, because
yeah.
It really.
with the players.
Come on, rise direct from hell, Spinal Tap.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
Yes, and that's my cue to start the show. Well, it's Saturday night, and a special episode of the Hard Rocket Sports Show live from high atop Hard Rocket Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are the three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all of the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. But tonight, we take a break from sports. Even though it's the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, the greatest sporting event of the 20th century. That's right, today, February 22nd, 1980, 20 young college kids went on the ice and whipped the shit out of the Soviets. And didn't win the gold medal that night. They won the gold 2 days later against Finland. But that was 40 years ago, and a 12-year-old boy from Staten Island had the hugest impression on me. And 40 years later, I think it's the greatest sporting event of our time. But we're not focusing on that tonight. We got bigger things. If you can imagine, we have bigger things here at Hard Rocket Sports. So get ready, sit tight. We got a big interview with two amazing entertainers. Well, I'm waiting for the second one to pop up. In the meantime, my co-host is going to jump on for a couple of minutes with us, maybe do the whole interview. I don't know how he feels on this Saturday night, but we thank you all for coming down to Hard Rocket Sports. Make sure you check us out on a regular night, every Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Check us out on hardrocketsports.com. And every Saturday morning on Radical Online Radio, you get the rebroadcast of Thursday night's episode. Hopefully some new episodes live on Saturdays in the future. You can also go to Spotify.com and check us out on Spotify.com. Go to the podcast section. Click on the podcast section. Type in Hard Rockin' Sports, and you'll find 360 episodes of the show with guests that range from George Foreman, Jeff Tate, Billy Sheehan, Mike Ruzioni, I'm trying to think of Pete Rose, right down to, oh God, we've 150 people have been on this show, and some major guests, and we thank you all for coming in tonight. We're going to have a nice big show. Won't be a very long show. Like we normally do 3 hours tonight, will be a short one, but let's get it kicked off right now. I'm going to bring on my co-host. He is the backbone of the show. He is, of course, Tom Wansky. What's up, FF?
Not much, man. I got a couple questions and a announcer.
Well, make them yours, and I'm waiting for Alana to pop up, and then we can get this show on the road.
All right. Well, one question. You opened the show by saying the high atop the Monroe, New Jersey studio. Yes. Isn't that a one-level, like, ranch or something?
Shh. Oh, you're clearing the mist. People, this is – listen, the curtain's up. This is high atop. I'm high atop Hard Rocket Sports Studios. Next question. Yeah.
This is an idea that I got when I'm listening to the beginning of the show, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? We never did this before on the show.
Uh-oh.
But this is part of my announcement.
I'm not taking my clothes off, so get it out of your brain.
I'm in another state, and I would go blind if I knew that. The last thing I want to know is you with no clothes on the radio at the same time that I'm on the radio.
All right, so go ahead.
Okay. I'm thinking you play a lot of snippets from the Spinal Tap.
Oh, greatest rock movie of all time. But go ahead.
Yes. I think that one Saturday night, we should, in its entirety, play Spinal Tap and stop the movie at certain parts and discuss those scenes.
Book it. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it next week. Right now. It's a guarantee. Well, all right, that's a great idea. I know people are going to say, Tom, it's a movie. How could you play Spinal Tap on the radio? It's not about the picture. It's about the dialogue. And the music, of course, the music, Jeff.
It's the words behind the dialogue that really mean what it is.
Let's do it. We'll book that. That's a great – that'll be a lot of fun. At the very least, it'll be a lot of fun for you and I. I don't know about anybody else, but you and I will have a lot of fun.
Yeah, listen, we can have people come in, call in on this one and everything else. Think of how cool that would be.
Sure, people can call in and give us their impressions, and they can tell us when they saw it. Like you and I cut out of high school to go see that movie the first time back almost 40 years ago. So yeah, it'd be quite fun. That's a good one. I will put that in the records for a couple of weeks. We'll set that up. But what else is on your mind before we bring on Steve Lynch?
That's about it, man. You know, my mind doesn't contain many things as it is. So usually when one thought fills it, that's pretty much it. It's pretty much a wrap.
I got you. We got to grab it while it's still there because it evaporates quickly. But while we're waiting for Alana to pop up, let's bring on Steve Lynch and get this interview getting started. Hopefully everybody out there is having a great weekend here in the Northeast. It was a little warm today, not too bad, 50s. I think it hit the 50 mark, and it's been a mild winter. But tonight it's hot because we got two amazing entertainers and their new project. Jeff, you ready to kick this off?
Yes, sir. Yeah? I think you got kicked off. I don't know if you hear me. Hello? Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, I can hear you now.
Okay.
I lost you for a second.
Oh, okay.
Well, are we having trouble again?
Where's Tommy?
Okay, evidently you're Steve, right?
Yes, I'm Steve.
Steve, Jeff, how are you, man? I don't know who can hear us. I'm going to shoot Tommy a text right now.
Okay.
Sometimes there's problems with this. I'm just going to ask him where.
I'm hoping I'm back. Am I back, Jeff?
Yes.
You're back.
Steve is on the line right now, the two of us.
Oh, beautiful. Sorry, guys. Had a little bit of a technical difficulty here at Hard Rock and Sports Studios. The engineers have, I think, fixed it. And we're on the air. Mr. Lynch, thank you for your patience, and welcome to Hard Rock and Sports. I guess Jeff's already introduced himself.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much for having me on, Tommy, and no problem. We run into these things all the time. There's always technical difficulties, so it happens.
You know what? It's funny, Jeff. You brought up Spinal Tap, and I go right into a little bit of a problem just with the words like Spinal Tap would have, like a little technical difficulty.
Yes, it's spinal tapping. We were spinal tapping. Right there. So
it seems as though every week there's some kind of Spinal Tap shit going on this show.
Hey, Steve, let me ask you a question. I mean, you're in our age bracket. Do you ever watch the movie Spinal Tap? Did you ever have a Spinal Tap moment while you were on stage?
Oh gosh, yes. Yeah, plenty of them. Actually, when we were touring back in the '80s, we had the VHS tape of Spinal Tap on the tour bus. And we used to watch it constantly. And what you guys were just talking about, as far as you would be, stopping, as Jeff was saying, you stop it and then you discuss the last scene, and we would do that on the tour bus. So that was cracking me up because that's exactly what we used to do. We used to laugh at the scene and then we'd just stop it, pause it, and then discuss it for a little bit and laugh our butts off. So that's funny that happened. But yeah, we've had technical difficulties on stage. One of the things, one time I was playing in Washington, D.C., and I think it's Dolls Arena there, but they had all these screens everywhere where it was close-up cameras. The cameras could go close-up on you. And I noticed that I was, like, kind of flipping around on stage and everything, and the camera was on me because I was doing a solo, and people started pointing and laughing at me. And I looked up at the screen and I went, oh my God, my guitar was kind of to my side when I was playing, and the front part of my pants had split open and I didn't have any underwear on. And so, everything was just there for the whole audience to view up on the big screen. And I'm going, oh my God. So I put my guitar back in front of me real quick. But these kind of things, they happen all the time, so.
It's funny.
That was my most embarrassing moment.
That happens to Jeff all the time, except I think it's self-inflicted. I think he does it to himself every time. He goes to the store. Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He leaves the house with scissors every time. I have to caution his wife. But, well, listen, we're happy to have you on. And We're absolutely big fans. I got to play a little autograph to start the show. So let's get into it a little bit while we wait for Alana to show up. I mean, I guess she's at the Queensryche concert. Maybe there's no service there. I can imagine, or it's too loud. It may be just too loud.
Oh no, she's going to be calling in a minute. She just messaged me, so she's going to be calling
great.
In just a second. Yeah.
All right. So give us a little story. I mean, we all know the story of Autograph, and you know, I know recently you decided to break away. We know that Jimmy Bell stepped in over there. Not that anybody can fill your shoes, but I know Jimmy Bell has stepped over. Now the band's, continuing on at this point. But so
yeah, they're continuing on, and they sound great. And Jimmy's a great player, and so
Jimmy's amazing.
Yeah,
Jimmy's
he had no problem coming in. And I wish him well and everything, and they're carrying on, and I carrying the torch. But I just decided I just wanted to do something different, and because after playing the songs for so many years, you just go, okay, I want to do something really different here. And that's when, Elena and I were, getting involved with each other, and we started talking music and everything. And I heard her voice and I went, oh my God, I would love to do something with her. And so that's when we started talking, really seriously about it. She didn't know who I was, actually. Right at first, it was funny because we did an interview with the same station on the same day, and the guy on the station said, I'm going to have Steve Lynch on later. And she said, who's that? And he goes, oh, he's a guitar player from Autograph. You remember Turn Up the Radio? She goes, oh yeah. Okay. Then we got to talking, just Elena and I between ourselves, and then it kind of formed into this. And then, so now we're going to do music together. So it's a beautiful thing.
Well, we're going to pick her up in a second. She just popped up, but let me ask you. So, you're out there with Autograph, and then you kind of go into Network 23 and then Autograph again. And let me ask you, I mean, they're great songs, but after a while, do you cringe that when you had to play, Turn Up the Radio Again? I mean, it's a great tune and it's one of the best solos of all time, but do you get to a point where you go, not again?
It kind of starts out that way, when you start playing the song. But then, you see the audience singing along with everything and just go, this is, I love it. So it never gets tiring from that perspective at all.
As fans, it's crazy because as fans, you go to the concert and, you want to hear everything, but there are certain songs you go, I got to hear that. If you didn't play it, it would be like, wait a second. How did I go to this concert? They didn't play that song for us. So I get it.
Right, exactly. I've been to concerts, when I was younger, and they didn't play songs like the Stones and Led Zeppelin. I'm going, why didn't you play that song, And so I know that feeling. But,
let's
play Turn Up the Radio.
I agree. Let's get it later on. Then I want to talk to you about just a quick early story on the thing and then get the band on. But she's obviously an amazing singer, independent. She's done videos and movies and modeling, and she rides horses. And tonight she's at a Queensryche concert, which I'm jealous of. But of course, she took a few minutes to call in and join all of us here. She is, of course, Alana Ray. Alana, welcome to Hard Rock and Sports. Tom Florio, Jeff Tawinski, and I think Steve.
Hi. Yes, I know him a little bit. I'm so sorry for being late. We're special guests actually here at the Queensryche concert, and we were not able to get where we needed to be on time. So,
listen, I can't blame you. I'm happy you called in. If I was at a Queensryche concert, and Jeff's seen them. Jeff, how many times have you seen Queensryche in your life?
Oh man, about 10 or 12 times I've seen him.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Well, yeah, I'll do a shout out for you a little bit later.
Yeah.
That's about the same for me because that's how many times we've played with him.
It's funny. We've had Michael Wilton on a couple times, and the first time I saw Queensryche, I was 17, 1980, February 85 at Radio City in New York City. Got to see them with Iron Maiden. I saw them five or six times. They had the great band. Make sure you tell the guys the Hard Rock and Sports shows are big fans.
I definitely will. I'll do a shout out for you a little bit later tonight.
I appreciate that. Nice. But we were just getting into the story of how you guys met and how you guys got to this point. So, Steve says you guys.
I lost you there.
Hello?
Tom, you're fading out, bro.
I'm there. Am I better? I'm here. Jeff?
Okay,
Jeff?
I can hear you now.
Sorry. Sorry. A little bit of technical difficulties on the third. When I used to be on the air on Saturday nights, I think that's the kind of the problem. Maybe I'm the problem. But, Lena, give us a little perspective from, picking up from you guys meeting the interview and how you guys get from that point to a couple to Project 222.
Well, it's really funny because Steve and I were on the same radio show, and we didn't know each other from Adam. And they played one of Steve's newer versions of Autograph. The song was called Get Off Your Ass. And then my song followed that, and I had a little interview thing afterwards. And after the radio show was over, the host said, you guys should friend each other on Facebook, and, great having you both on here. Come back in the rock chat room and say hello. And so we did, and then we went back over to each other's Facebooks, and I said, hey, you are great. I think that the band is really great, and it has a lot of potential.
She didn't know that we were already around for a while. That was the funny
part. I had no clue. I thought it was
the first
song.
New band.
Yeah, that's tough, Steve. I got to tell you, that's tough. It's a definite gut check. You definitely go, all right.
Yeah.
I got to check the ego at the door, but it's okay. You go, all right, wait a sec. I'm not going to ruin this thing just because she didn't know who Autograph was. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming down the pike for new music, because we haven't heard it yet. I know you guys are still working on it. But, Alana, you're more in the country genre, the stuff I've gotten to listen to so far. Steve, we all know you come with Autograph and Network 23, so we know you're more on a harder edge. What's Project 222? Is it a combination? What kind of music, and how does this fit for both of you?
It's going to be death metal with a light tinge on top of it, actually. No.
Save me.
Yeah. No, it's funny because Elena and I were talking about death metal last night. That's why I had to bring that up. But it's going to be world music, which means, it's just going to appeal to everybody. We're not really thinking about a genre, in particular genre. We're just writing whatever we feel. And whatever we feel that that people will enjoy, and that's basically what we're doing. And the whole concept about the name.
But it does have more of a rock edge, though. I mean, I think that's what they're wanting to know.
Well, yeah. Elena, does that fit your how say talents? Does that fit where you wanted to be? Did you think you'd be in a harder edged band at this point? Is that where you thought you'd go? I seem to think you kind of lean more the country route. How does it was there any
it's a really funny thing actually, because I actually started out rock. I'm from Seattle, Washington, and
okay.
I was in a rock and top 40 band for years before I ever even did anything country, and I got noticed at a casino that I was playing at in Vegas. We used to travel up and down the West Coast and play all the big casinos. We were one of the top cover bands back in the day. And a guy came up to me and said, you should come to Nashville and we'll give you a deal doing country music. Are you up for that? And country is more on the edge of rock now. So even if you listen to my country music, it's more pop rock country. It's not like traditional country. So that's how that all got started. And then, of course, I went to Nashville and found out that the guy was a scam artist and the whole deal was not a deal that was worth anything at all anyways. But I decided since I was there, I was going to go ahead and pursue it. And unbelievably so, I made something of myself, which is a really rare story in this town.
Absolutely.
Back to what you were saying, rock is actually what I started with and what my real heart was from the very beginning. I was a big into Heart. I was into Led Zeppelin. I was into all this stuff. So it's really neat for me to be able to kind of come back and mix all the heart and the storytelling of country music that I've learned over the last 15 years to now being able to cross that over into a rock and really share a deep feeling side of this rock music, which is where we get the Rockette World type thing.
Okay. Yep. We're talking with Project 222's on Lana Ray and Steve Lynch here at Hard Rock and Sports on a Saturday night special edition. Jeff, Tom, and the whole gang sitting in for a few minutes tonight, giving you a little bit of a new band for you. And remember, we're back here Thursday nights like normal, 6:30 to 9:30 every Thursday. And Saturday mornings on a rebroadcast on the Radical Online Radio Network. Guys, let me ask you, this has got to be a tough, not a tough question. You know, you're obviously entertainers, you're in a band together, but you're also a couple. You know, is there a, is it harder as a couple? Does it make it easier to do what you're doing? Is there any special trappings that you have to pay attention to spending too much time together? Is there any of that, you know, you have to be careful of moving forward and going down the road and being on the road, you know, 100 times a year, maybe?
No, I don't think so at all. I think it actually adds to it. I look at it like we enjoy spending time together and we enjoy writing together and doing everything together. So it works out perfectly.
Okay. But now when you're in the studio or you're making a decision, Alana, who runs the show? When you're out there, you're recording, who's running the show? Is it Steve with all his, you know, experience? Or do you wear the pants, as they say, in this relationship, this professional relationship? Who runs the show when you guys are doing your thing?
Well, here is where it goes. The really unique thing about Steve and I is that I am a business person. I've made my way. I've managed everything. I've booked bands. I've booked bands for years. I used to book Joan Jett, Pat Benatar, even Carrot Top. I mean, I was a booking agent. So I have the know-how and the knowledge in that aspect of the business and the marketing end of it, the social media end of it, websites, et cetera. Whereas Steve has the hands-on personal experience as a tour manager and all this. So we come together really as a well-oiled machine in going forward to our tours because we both have such knowledge in our particular area. So it really, there's no conflict. There's nobody wearing the pants. It's like we both excel at what we do and we just come together and everything's wonderful.
Yes, we both have our own responsibilities. Like we know where I know where what she's better at, what field she's better in, and she knows what field I'm more knowledgeable in. And that's like what she just said, tour managing and taxes and stuff like that and, you know, basic stuff like that. So So it fits together very, very well.
Well, we're all certainly looking forward to the finished product, which I'll get to in a second. But so let me ask you. So now you're going to go out. First off, what does Project 222 mean? I could not find that anywhere in my notes or anywhere on the internet. So somebody tell me where the name of the band came from.
Came from Elena. So I'll let her explain.
Yeah, actually it did. I have been seeing the number 222 for years. Even my old apartment in downtown Seattle that I lived in for several years was apartment 222. No pun there to the TV show. But it's a weird thing. It just was continually coming up all the time. And like I'd look at the clock, it'd be 222. I just so happened to look down at my phone and it would be 222. And I decided to look it up, and it says that your angels are guiding you in numerology. Your angels are guiding you. It's supposed to be a very positive energy thing, and I don't know how much weight I actually give to that, but it's a cool thought, and I love the feeling that I get when I see that number pop up. And so I said to Steve, hey, why don't we call it 222? Because he started seeing it too, didn't you, Steve?
Oh, yeah, I saw it a lot. Even before she brought it up, that she had seen it a lot. I'd been seeing it all the time as well, and the number 1111. So it was always 222 and 1111. And so, you know, I cracked up when she mentioned that because I said, you know, we were talking about 222, and when she first brought that up, I said, I see that all the time. So kind of like I'm going, yeah, that sounds like the perfect name, you know.
That's an that's new for us, guys. So you know, now the whole band. I can't, like I said, I see. I'd like to know: was there a traveling band? Do you guys pick a band up as you move forward? What will be the ensemble that will go with, you know, that will complete Project 222?
Woo-hoo!
We have a regular drummer, okay, and that's,
yeah, he's
that's
also one of the writers. He writes and he's a drummer too. He's been my long term drummer drummer since I first took a stage 20 years ago. And so we have incredible harmonies and this powerhouse like vocals together. And so some of the songs we do write together, and it's just an awesome part, but that's the only permanent player that we have in 222.
Well, I'd like to offer the services of my bass player friend, Jeff Ponwitz, one of the best bass players in this area. I know he happens to be free. And if you need somebody to audition, Jeff, are you available at a moment's notice to fly out and audition? Jeff, please.
I'm not getting on no planes, bro.
Jeff doesn't. If he can't walk or take a car, he ain't going. So I try,
there,
Jeff.
There
I try.
You know. That might be difficult. If you can't get on a plane, that may turn out to be a little bit difficult.
Yeah, a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, well, listen. He can definitely Skype himself in if you guys need it. If you guys need somebody to show
up,
so don't be bashful. Don't be bashful. So
that's hilarious.
Hey, Jeff, Steve, do me a favor. So what do you look for now that you know you have all this experience? What are the pitfalls that you look for now to stay clear of? Like, what's the first thing you say? All right, we can't do that. Like, what's the main thing you look for? I got to ask that question because you've been around a little while and you know the good and the bad.
I would say, first of all, is the people that you get associate with as far as business and everything. That's like the first thing you got to really watch out for, because that seems to be the biggest pitfall is the people that you're dealing with, unfortunately.
Right.
And the other thing is, like we were just saying, that like we were talking about, it's mainly me and Elena, and then we have a permanent drummer who's also a writer, and we keep the other musicians so that it's going to be a hired gun kind of thing, and that way there's not too many people making decisions in the band. The main decision makers are just Elena and I about everything, and that keeps it so that there's no other additional problems. keeping it real small and keeping it tight like that. And what would you say, Elena?
Ken, Elena.
Elena.
What was that?
And what would you say?
I'm sorry that the phone was breaking up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The question was,
I'm sitting back here. I'm sitting back here with Queensryche in the back of the concert, and I don't have great reception because we're in a place called the Underground, and it really is like the Underground. So
we won't keep it too much longer. We're having some fun. Hey, I did see Elena Ray music.com as one website. Is there other websites, guys, that we can promote?
Project 222 is going to be coming up. That website is being built right now, and it will be up in about two weeks.
Okay. And social media, I know Facebook, you guys have a Project 222 Facebook. Any other social media outlets? You guys on Instagram, Twitter, any of that stuff?
We're going to have a Project 222 on Instagram as well, but we do have our personal pages, you know, Elena Ray. Has her own Instagram, and I have my own Instagram page. We're both, on there, and our own personal pages on Facebook as well.
Okay, great, guys. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I got a couple more questions. One I want to ask is, Steve, how do you now? It's very hard to get music out to people, to get attention. Years ago, labels were doing it, publicists. You had the whole machine. Today, everybody's in their basement with Pro Tools and, recording it to a mic in their bathroom, and there's thousands and thousands of things. How do you weave through that and get yourself out in front to try to get people to notice what you're doing?
Well, through social media is one of the things, and we'll be using many different facets of that. But we're actually going into a professional studio as well, and we're going to be – we already took some pictures the first time we were in there. We'll be doing some more pictures while we're in there and posting that, because we really want the whole – there's like, you can get the sound really close on your home recording studio, but when you get into a real studio, it's a whole different thing. And so, you know, we're going to be promoting when we're in there. And we're going to, you know, and Elena can answer some of that too. She has some great marketing ideas. And go ahead. You there, honey?
Elena, let me ask you this question then. Let me switch to just a little bit. How important, Elena, is video today? Back in when I was a kid, it was huge because we didn't have the internet. So when we get to see a band like Steve's Autograph or even any of the bands, you know, it was the only place to see it was MTV. You know, VH1 made VH1 if there was that at that time. But nowadays, you know, I would think videos weren't as important, but it seems to be more important. So how important for you is video, is the facial recognition for people, for your band?
I think it is absolutely crucial. I think that people connect, they follow, even if it's not even necessarily a real pro, like for all the bands out there that don't have a lot of money, a big budget to put behind themselves, there's even apps that you can find that you can make your own little cool videos just to have something to connect and really show your fans a part of you that they don't know. They're not going to know unless they actually see you. And I just feel that it has been huge in my career and getting me where I've gotten to, and we'll definitely be using it a lot for 2022.
Oh, yeah. We'll be doing a video for every song that we put out, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. And then last music question. I got one for Steve, then I'll let you both go. Is it EPs? Is it, you know, a lot of people doing single after single after single, not really doing albums. What's the plan, Steve? What's the path you guys are taking?
We're going to release with the first release, we're going to release two songs, and then we're going to wait for a couple of months and release either one or two more. And we're just going to do it like that. And then once we have a full, you know, 10 songs, then we'll release a full CD of it. And that's, but, you know, so that people can actually, you know, buy or download the whole CD. But most people are just doing it a single at a time now. But we're going to do, on our first, you know, debut, we're going to do two songs.
Okay. And Elena, when will it be, when do you think you'll be ready with the first single? When will we, is it a month? Is it 6 months? Like, how far off are you guys with the first song?
We are under 1 month. We're looking at between 2 and 3 weeks.
Oh, outstanding. Outstanding. Well,
yes.
I'm psyched for that. Steve, last question. Then I'm going to let you guys go. I got to ask about Eddie Van Halen, because last week I had a guy on the show by the name of Nick Perry. And I don't know if you know who Nick Perry is, but Nick Perry's a great guitar player. He was in Silver Tide. Now he's in the Underground Thieves. Anyway, he has a story about Eddie and being on the road with him when he was basically a kid, 17, 18 years old, and how he wasn't allowed or was asked not to do any of his solos, you know, in the opening, you know, for the opening band. No, they didn't want any guitar solos. And I was doing my research, and I saw that you might have had some sort of the same experience. Now, Nick's ended well.
Mean somebody else was that as well.
His did end well. He said he spent the next month hanging in Eddie's tune-up room, playing blues and hanging out with him. And it turned out it was a good story. I guess my research with you, and yours didn't necessarily end real well. So I got to ask the question, is that a true story, urban myth?
Yes, it is.
And what really happened?
Yes, it is. Yeah, they're right before we went on stage, and that was January 18th, 1984. I remember it because it was for the 84 tour, and January 18th was my birthday. And their tour manager came up to me and said, "Are you Steve Lynch?" You know, and he's poking his finger in my chest, and I'm going, "Yeah, what's the problem?" And he goes, "Are you the guy that wrote that book on the two-headed technique, or like back in 1979? And I go, "Yeah, why?" And he goes, "On the two-headed technique, you know, that whole tapping thing, using all four fingers on both hands." And, you know, he said, "Well, we have a problem. You know, you can't do that on this tour." And I said, "Why not? I mean, I've been doing this for years. I mean, I've been doing it since, you know, like 1972, 73. So he said, "Well, no, that's Eddie's thing." And I went, "What? Okay, can I use a guitar pick? Is that Eddie's thing too?" But he got pissed, and he said, no, look at you're going to have a real problem. You guys get fired from the tour right away if I see your right hand on the neck once. And he was very adamant about it. So I got up on stage. I was not happy. I didn't even want to go on stage at that point. And I just thinking, how can somebody say that they can't do how they play guitar? They can't play guitar like the way that they play guitar, their own style. And I wasn't happy about it. And so I got up there and I fiddled around and I had to make up solos on the spot. I had some solos worked out for everything. And so I had to change it all around right before I went on stage. And but after a few days, I just went, you know what, the heck with it. I'm just going to play what I want. And I did it, and they never kicked us off the tour. So I think it was just a big threat. But, it wasn't pleasant. But
wow.
Anyway.
Did you ever run into Eddie or bounce at the, and say, what the hell, or never cross paths?
Yeah, I did. Actually, one night I was drinking Jack Daniels, and I literally grabbed him by the shirt, and I pulled him in after he came off stage. And I said, what's up with that? You know, I showed him my book. I said, look what year this came out. This was 1979. So why am I having a problem? And he says, no, man, you can do whatever you want. You know, don't worry about it, you know. And I said, okay, call the dogs off, you know. And you know, I let him know that I wasn't happy about it, you know. So.
Yeah, I mean, wow, that's amazing. You know, you hear one time, you go, okay, maybe, you know, maybe somebody's playing with it, but I heard your story, I read your story, and I said, wow, I gotta check this out tonight. Listen, growing up in that time, I was a huge Eddie Van Halen fan, and I still am to a certain degree. I don't necessarily know if I like the guy, but an amazing guitar player. But, you know, Steve, not for nothing, you know, we talk about great guitar players on this show, and your name comes up, and, you know, obviously I don't have to tell you, your place in metal, 80s metal history. You're an amazing player, and I can't tell you how much of an honor it is to get to talk to you as a guy who pretends to play guitar. To talk to you is pretty huge for us. So thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very much for that. And yeah, there's no hard feelings towards the whole Eddie thing and all that. You know, I know that was many years ago, so there's. It's all cool, you know, but thank you for your compliment. That was very nice, you know.
Oh, no, that's serious, but thank you. And so, guys, we know we got some stuff coming up real quick. I'm going to let you guys go, but you got the Red Carpet Awards in Europe, Elena. You guys are booked for a cruise. Give us Steve, sit down for a little bit. Give me a second. I want Elena to tell me what's coming up this year for the band beside the new music and for yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, I am super excited. I am nominated in Europe for the first ever Red Carpet Awards there for Indie Artist of the Year and New Single of the Year also. And also my song, The Look, has gotten picked up as a remake for that nomination. So I'm actually nominated three times over there, and I'm just so excited about that. And we have a trip we're doing – Iceland and Ireland and, gosh, babe, where else are we going? Oh, with the cruise, we're doing the Grand Cayman Islands and Cozumel, Mexico.
Right. And then
we're going to Seattle.
Yay. And possibly New Zealand as well. We're looking at New Zealand.
Yes, exactly. I forgot that. Yep, New Zealand too.
Wow. And
so
we're
going to kind of be bouncing all over.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific, guys. And listen, we wish you guys tremendous success. We hope that it blows up and you guys have a ton of fun with it. And if anybody can make money, we hope you do in this business. But at least have a lot of fun and make sure that you come back to Hard Rock and Sports when everything settles down and you start putting out more stuff. We'd love to have you guys both back on the show.
You got it anytime. Anytime, absolutely. We'd love to come back on.
Well,
yes.
Guys, I'll get again. It's alanaray.com for more. Project 222, the website will be out shortly, so keep in touch. With that, we'll start posting some stuff when we see it. We'll let everybody know. But we're already big fans, and we couldn't support you anymore. And you're always welcome here, Alana. Go enjoy your Queensryche concert. Tell the Queensryche boys we're here. We missed them. We haven't seen Michael Wilton in a while.
I will let them know.
I'll send you
a shout out later tonight.
I appreciate that. Enjoy yourself and have a safe trip home.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
okay,
Steve. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bobby and Jeff. Appreciate it. You guys.
No
really
problem.
Really...
Steve Lynch. We appreciate you coming on. Steve Lynch and Atlanta Ray, Project 222. Make sure you guys check them all out. Guys, thank you again. I can't thank you. We can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good night. Good night. Take care, guys. So,
okay.
Jeff,
bye bye now.
All right. So, Jeff, that was pretty cool. Nice people. Good music.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. That was a fun interview. We got a couple seconds more. Jeff, today 40 years of since Miracle on Ice. Any thoughts today? Anything more than the normal? I know you're not the biggest hockey guy in the world, but have you had a
I remember watching that game simply because it was in New York. There was Lake Placid.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle and his wife actually went to the Olympics that year.
Oh,
I
really?
Don't know what, yeah, I don't know what events they saw, or my uncle has died, and we don't have any contact with his wife anymore. So I don't know like what events they might have saw. If they were even, they might have been at that game. I can't say for certain either way. But there's a chance that they were actually at that game. And that would have been pretty cool, but you know, I remember watching that with my mother and father and my brother in the upstairs room of the house on Ormond Place, and just watching, you know, that game happen. And it was a lot of fun. I remember watching it and you know, hoping that the United States won, and they did. And it was just an incredible night because I remember the Russian team was supposed to be so much better and be so much more experienced and everything else. So it was actually a pretty cool experience to watch them win. And, you know, it was monumental as far as an American hockey victory went. Nobody expected them to stand a chance against the Russians, from what I remember.
Oh.
And there they were. They went in and they won the game. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it, like I said, I had a chance this afternoon. We were home early, and I got to watch Miracle, the movie, about it. And, you know, just to remind you, you know, I mean, you know what? It doesn't even capture how big this was back then. I mean, you know, the simple fact that the bunch of college kids beat basically the world's best hockey team could not be overshadowed. And they had lost. And the Americans weren't even supposed to make the medal round, let alone beat anybody or win a gold. They should never even beat Sweden to open up. They tied Sweden. And then, you know, just to run the geopolitical landscape, the Russians, in the U.S., our economy, you know, just an amazing thing. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, like the whole Jesse Owens 1936 Olympics has kind of faded. You know, and again, that one was before TV. And, you know, obviously it goes way back into the 30s. But you hope that this doesn't ever fade away from our you know, our society, because it's such a valuable lesson. And I think it's something that catapulted our country to another level at that point. I know that it's a hockey game, but just the way it made people feel, Jeff, I think that you hope that something like this doesn't ever go away.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't think it will. I think people realize the importance of it, and especially at the time, like you're saying, everything that happened back then with Russia, the Cold War, and everything else that was going on, it just made a big impact on the world at that point in time. I remember it was a big thing. And, you know, I'm glad that I got to see it, you know, for a lot of different reasons. It was cool. It was the Olympics. It was a medal round. It was a, you know, everything, just a game they weren't supposed to win, and here they come. They ended up winning the game and propelling themselves. I was always kind of odd that they never were able to translate that to a lot of big success in the NHL, though.
No, there's a couple of guys. Neil Broughton had a pretty good career. Mark Johnson did all right, but Jimmy Craig was out of the NHL pretty quick. Most of the guys, you know, guys went out to be airline pilots and dental surgeons, and you know, very few of them had really good. I think Mike Ramsey hung around for about 17 years, but was a decent defenseman. But you're right, Jeff. Not a ton of success in the pros. You're 100% right.
Yeah, it was kind of sad to see, if you think about it, that it didn't translate to more success for them. But, you know, listen, I guess they were in the right place and right time in American Olympic history. So we can't take that away from them.
Oh, no, and, yeah. No, definitely not.
Beat a team like Russia, it's a big thing, man.
Yeah, again, you know, if you didn't grow up in that time, you really wouldn't understand. Like I'm explaining to my kids today, you won't understand it because you don't think of Russia the same way. But, you know, 1980, you know, through, you know, mid-80s, Russia was, you know, another big dog in the world, you know, and they were our chief rival. And they were the big, bad monsters, you know, red and communists. And, you know, it was like a bunch of college kids went over and slayed the dragon. And, you know, to this day, to me, it's you know, again, there's nothing close. You know, there's that, and then there's everything else as far as big time sporting events. Yeah, you know, again, that's just the way I feel. So 40 years later, I saw the president had some of the team, Herb Brooks' daughter, Craig Patrick, they were all at his Las Vegas rally last night. So that was nice to see that they brought the guys out there, and they've been all over the TV today. Different members. So I'm glad to see some of these people are out there remembering it, Jeff.
Well, it should be remembered. And unfortunately, on a lot of different levels, you know what? It's hard to remember everything that happened in the Olympics over the years because not every event meant something. So with the hockey, that was a big event. It was on a world level. And I understand all Olympic events are on a world level, but like you just said, completely different story when you think about what happened at that time and what was going on in the world. But, Jeff, like saying that, how come they never remember the guy that won the shot put in 1984 or something stupid like that, you know? Some events just going to mean more than others. That's all there is to it.
You know, there's been some, you know, some big years. I think it was, I want to say it was also 84. They had a lot of great boxers. It was either 84 or 90 or 88. There was a whole big American boxing thing. And I remember the boxing back in the 70s and 80s. I don't know if you watch a lot, but they, Sunday in like the spring, before baseball, after football, ABC would have like these amateur boxers. It would be like Cuba and the United States. And Teofilo Stevenson was the big Cuban boxer. And, you know, I just remember, you know, boxing was always big, but there were never big events in the Olympics. Again, you know, we've had some great track and field stars, but just for the, you know, because the Russians were just so dominant, won every Olympics from 64, 68, 72, 76, and people just said they were going to run through it in 80. You know, it was, you know, you win, Jeff, when you win for 20 years, you know, you just can't be beat. It's, you know, to me, that's just a big thing. So, you know, I hope that this memory lives on a very long time, at least while I'm alive.
Yeah, you know, I think it will. I think that we will see people remember it and talk about it and everything for a while. It's not just going to vanish. I don't think anybody will let it vanish, you know. But will it lose some importance? I don't know. I think somewhere down the line, it's not going to be as important as it is today, you know, but that's the game of it. But
yeah, it's, like I said, if 40 years ago, Russia's not even Russia today. You know, today it's been broken up into a series of different countries. It's, you know, Soviet Union is not the same as it was 40 years ago. So listen, again, it's a once in a lifetime thing, and that's the way it should be. That's why it's so big and so important. I treasure it. It's a lot of fun, and we had Captain Mike Ruzioni on the show a few weeks back, and we got to hang and talk with him a bit. And tonight with Steve Lynch and Alana Ray. So I'm very thankful at Hard Rocket Sports that Jeff and I, two old friends, get to meet new people and get to talk to some people we would never ever dream we would be able to sit down and have a chat with. So it's Hard Rocket Sports, a lot of fun for both of us. But let's see, Jeff. Anything else you want to talk about tonight before we wrap this up? You want to bring up any topics?
You know, of course, before I got on, I was thinking of a whole bunch of stuff, but now I can't remember Dick. But it is what it is.
Hey, you know, real quick, you know, XFL. You know, it's kind of, you know, I forgot. I don't even know if it was on TV today. You know, like I didn't even look to switch to see if it was on any of the channels. You know, I'm kind of worried. Like, I didn't see much in the newspaper about it this week. You know, it doesn't seem to be gaining a lot of momentum. What's your thought?
I can't see it gaining momentum. I think people are going to watch the first couple of weeks just because they were kind of curious about it.
Yeah.
I don't see it catching on, you know, like some people might have thought. I just don't see that happening because they're starting. I think they're starting it at the wrong time, Tom.
When would you think, if you were them, when would you start it?
Oh, man. You know, that's a great question because basically whenever you start it, it's going to be kind of the wrong time. But they're starting it right after the NFL ends.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that they should have given it a little bit more time and then maybe start it, you know, maybe a little bit later into the spring. Mm-hmm. You know, before Memorial Day, wrap the season up before Memorial Day if possible. But maybe start it, you know, like, I don't know, everything, no matter what they do, they're going to be overshadowed by the NFL. People
right.
are going to be, and especially this year, with all the quarterbacks that could be on the move, there's going to be a lot going on. You know, it just, I don't know. I just don't think that they're going to have it in them to compete. I think they would have been better off starting maybe mid to late March.
But don't you think that you run into, like, now you run into the heart of the start of the baseball season, and, you know, now you have that you lose that fan base. So I agree with you. I also think maybe they would be better off starting it before football was over, you know, and kind of get people in the momentum of it and keep it going while they're in the throes of football. Now, again, Saturdays are college football and Sundays are pro, so when do you get the games? But I don't know. The first week was great. Then second week was a little less, and then this week I've heard nothing. I have nobody texting me anymore about it. So, you know, I'm just curious. We have our first set of press credentials for next Saturday. I don't know what your plan is. When, you know, I know we're going to pick at least one game and try to make it together. I think I'm pretty sure I'm going to go next Saturday to the game, you know, and use my press credential. But I think we have to at least make one attempt to at least make a game together and, you know, kind of get our name out there.
I hope to do next week. I got to work. There's some event going on. But the one week after that, whatever the game is or the next home game, pencil me in. I'll go to that one. That's not a problem. Unfortunately,
okay.
Next Saturday, I'm not going to be able to make it.
No worries. Like I said, I'm going to go next week because I have the credential. I want to go meet the people. But, you know, again, I just was curious because, like I said, this week, I have four or five diehard football friends out there, and you know, the first couple of weeks they were texting me, "What'd you think of this play? What'd you think of this game? Did you see these uniforms?" This week, I've heard nothing, so I forgot if it was even on today. I didn't even look to see if they were playing today. So I will tomorrow. I'm not going to be doing anything, so I'll make sure I watch a little New York Guardians football. But today was if they were on, I didn't see it. So we'll see.
You know, you got to remember something. When the AFL merged with the NFL, okay?
Yep.
It was a different time. It was of course, we all know it was a different time. But there was big names in the NFL. There was some swagger to the AFL. The XFL, you're talking about retreads and rejects from the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about them. You can't take a guy that ran the 40 in 4.6 and say that this is going to be one of your stars. And I'm just using that as an example, you know, because people want to see the guy that ran 4.3,
right.
You know, or 4.4. So you're getting B-level talent, and B-level talent in regards to that the NFL is the epitome. So is the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NHL. So anybody that doesn't make it on those leagues, are, you know, nobody's going to want to see. Nobody wants to hear them. Nobody wants to see them. Who is the quarterback for the Guardians?
Matt McGloin.
Matt McGloin. Now, look at the glorious NFL career that he had. Does anybody even remember it?
Well, I mean, he played for the Raiders. That much I remember. I believe he was a Penn State guy. He played at Penn State. So he's about – beside him and the he's the quarterback for, I think, the Houston or L.A. team. Cardinal Jones played at Ohio State. There's very few other guys that I've ever heard of in this league. So, and, you know, okay, I watch a lot of college football.
That's just my point. Mm-hmm. Where's the big name? Where's the draw? You know, if they got Johnny Manziel on one of those teams, would that have helped?
Sure. Okay? Absolutely would help. Just name recognition alone, sure.
If they had gotten, say, Philip Rivers went over there.
That's what you need. That's what you need. You need a couple of big names, whether it's a couple of college guys that they steal or a couple of, you know, you're not going to get any prime age guys, but if you get an NFL guy who's in the middle of his career, maybe got hurt, can't get a gig, or, you know, he's still got a big name, they're going to need that guy over there to give them some juice. That's what they need, Jeff. That's exactly what they need.
All right, so now let me ask you this, because I know that you're going to be shutting down in a few minutes, but can we take this till 9 o'clock?
We go a few minutes. Let's see. I'll see if I can pull it off. If I don't get knocked at the door, we're good.
Okay. All right. So how about this? This year, okay, in the NFL, we talked the other day, there's several quarterbacks that may be traded, cut, moving on, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Out of all of those quarterbacks, and there's just too many to list, too many to name,
yeah,
is there any one of those men that you can see going over to the XFL?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. Cool. I think for sure. I mean, I could see a Mariota or a Winston winding up at a place like that. Can't get a starting job. You know, not getting a real look. Sure, I could see one of those guys winding up over there.
Now,
why not?
Let's just say that one of them takes that chance,
mm-hmm,
and decides to move over, okay? Does,
mm-hmm,
that ruin their NFL career?
That's a great question. I don't know what that. See, the original XFL, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. There was a guy who played for the, I think it was the New York team. He went over to the NFL, and he wound up having a good NFL career after that. He had gone to the NFL, didn't really make a mark. I'm trying to get a guy who's a quarterback. It'll come to me. But so, you know, Jeff, that's a good question.
Guy that played in Pittsburgh.
Tommy Maddox, that's the guy. Tommy Maddox. Tommy Maddox went over to the XFL for a year, was played great. I think, in fact, he might have been the MVP and won the championship. Went back to the Steelers and played really well. Didn't break out or anything, but it revived his NFL career. So I think it's possible. I don't think it'll hurt them. I think if you had no other choice, I think the question would be if I'm trying to pick out a guy. So let's say, I don't know, if somebody went over there, held out, then went over there, got big money, and then tried to come back, that could be a problem. But I think if you couldn't get a job and you went there and played well, I think you can get back in. But I think if you try to hold a gun to the NFL's head and then try to go back, I think that's the problem. That would be a problem.
I think that any quarterback, all right, I'm going to use quarterback. I'm just going to stick with quarterbacks on this one.
Okay.
Any quarterback that tried to go over to the XFL, end his career, however you want to put it, okay,
yep,
went over to the XFL and didn't immediately, say Mariota, Winston, Cam Newton, okay, maybe Teddy Bridgewater, some of these other guys that may have a hard time finding, Andy Dalton, that may have a hard time finding a home or whatever the case is or whatever. If they don't go over there and light the league on fire and throw for 7,000 yards in their season, I don't think anybody would take them seriously as a player.
That's a danger. You brought up the danger. That is the danger. If you were a guy who couldn't start in the NFL, and let's use Ryan Tannehill. You're Ryan Tannehill. You get cut next year. They get Tom Brady next year looking for a job, and you say, screw it, and you're going to go to the XFL, and you play badly. Yes, Jeff, you're right. You are going to have a hard time getting a job again in the NFL. So that is the pitfall. You're 100% right.
Yeah, I think that they can end up destroying their career.
if it doesn't work according to plan.
Again, even if it does, I mean, but again, it could be for a guy like C. Now, a guy like Johnny Manziel, he should be trying to get on the field if he wants to play again. I know they offered to Colin Kaepernick, which I think would have been the biggest mistake they could have made. You know, honestly, I know that it garners up the, you know, for Vince McMahon, it's all about PR and public relations, but I think you would have probably lost more people not watching. Like, I would not have watched any game he played in had they signed him. So I think they probably dodged a bullet, even though he asked them for $20 million to play there.
Well, let me ask you this. Did they dodge a bullet? Did Vince McMahon turn around and show that they're willing, one, to try to go anyplace for talent? That's one thing. Second, maybe they had an inkling that he would have said no.
And you think they were asking because they knew he was going to say no? Just for the PR portion of it?
Maybe they were asking him just to fuck with him as a player. You know, like you said no to the NFL. Okay, we know he's going to say no, but you know what? Let's bury him completely.
Mm.
You know, maybe there's a conspiracy between two football leagues to keep him out of professional football.
Huh? True. Very true. And, you know, let's look at it from the coaching point of view, though, Jeff. You know, we never talk about the coaches. You know, there's a lot of guys over there coaching, Kevin Gilbride, June Jones, Jim Zorn. You know, do you think those guys are just trying for last gasps, or do you think they're trying to get noticed and get an NFL job again?
I think in definitely some of them are looking to get noticed on an NFL level again. There's only so many teams. So let's just take Jim Zorn, for example. You know, quarterback with Seattle for years. I believe didn't he go to Washington Redskins for a while?
Yes,
also,
he did. I think so.
And then he was coaching in Seattle or Washington for a while.
He coached in a couple places, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So somebody like him, you know, he wasn't the greatest of players when he was in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't terrible. But to see where he gets his name back on the map, maybe it's coaching for me. Let me see what happens over an 8-game schedule. Let's see how this works. Let's see if anybody notices what I'm doing, you know, in the XFL, and then tries to bring me back in to the NFL. So, you know, it doesn't hurt these guys to try. You know, you can't blame them for trying.
Yeah, no.
I think
it's worth it. Let's put it this way. Let's end it with this for this topic. What's the ultimate goal this year if you're Vince McMahon? Like, is it just about ratings? Is it about advertising? What's Vince McMahon and the XFL got to do this year in year one to be successful?
What are they going to do to be successful?
To be considered successful. Let's say, you know, end of year one, the ratings weren't great, but they finished the season and they had a good, you know, to me, for them to be successful, forget ratings because it's going to be in and out. I think they just have to be a buzz on social media and on radio, sports radios, ESPN. If their championship game is a blurb in the back of the newspaper or, you know, buried story on ESPN, they failed.
It's not for nothing. That's the way it certainly seems to me right now.
I agree.
Much about it.
Listen, I agree with you. That's my point. So between now and the end of the season, which I think is sometime in April, they have to do something. Something good's got to happen for them to gain some steam where people start to pay attention to what's going on. I don't care if it's in one city. I don't care if it's in two cities who are going to play in the championship game. Something's got to happen where this doesn't get buried in the middle of the newspaper or just leading into a commercial break on ESPN. So if they don't, they'll have a hard time next year.
I saw on ESPN they were doing stories about the XFL. And
okay.
They had it listed under the NFL.
Okay.
Okay, so that's where, you know, like when you go to read stories on ESPN.com.
Yeah.
There'll be, you know, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL. Well, XFL is listed, the news for the XFL is listed under the news for the NFL. So they're not even listed as the XFL. So it's like you're not giving them, you know, you're not even separating them. So if you even are an XFL fan and you're looking for content, and if you don't realize that some of it is listed under the NFL, you're not even going to see it because you're going to blow right past it.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, it's a shame. I mean, you know, listen, it is what it is. Vince McMahon's got a lot of money. I don't think that the wrestling audience or there's been a crossover yet. I think that's something that they need to think about is having some sort of a crossover with wrestling in the XFL. Something's got to give if they're going to have be noticed. They have to get noticed this year for a good reason, not for a bad one. And we'll see. I mean, it's still early in the year. It's third week of the season. Like I said, I'm definitely gonna go Saturday down to MetLife Stadium and check out a game and try to see if I can pretend to be a part of the press, and then eventually Jeff and I'll get to a game together before the season's over, so we can at least say we hung a press credential on our neck and we went down there and interviewed somebody. We'll see who'll talk to us. Never know.
But you know what? Let me ask you something. What do they do to bring it to the next level? What do you have a championship match during halftime? And set up a ring in the 50-yard line, and you give the fans a championship wrestling match. That would be too much.
No, that's hokey. No, you can't. Again, I don't know how you do it. I just think something's gotta happen. A big game's gotta break out, or some sort of a miracle play where you go, "Holy guys, all over the TV," and the people want to see it. I think it beyond that though. I think they need a couple of big names, whether it's college players, you know, if they would ever get, like, say, Joe Burrow, they talk Joe Burrow into going over there, or getting a couple of big name pro NFL players. I think that's what the league needs, Jeff. And short of that, nobody's going to know if they made a big run or a big play on a Saturday XFL game, short of having a big name there to do it. That's the way I look at it. They got to steal some players.
Yeah, well. You're 100% right, man.
Yeah. I'd bring in Johnny Manziel, bring in, a couple of outlaw-type players, or steal somebody from the NFL with a big contract. I mean, they're going to have to spend some money. And, I don't know who would do it, but if you've got a guy – I'm trying to think of a name. Let's use Le'Veon Bell, a guy who's had a couple – we had a couple rough years NFL-wise. Antonio Brown, even better. Let's put Antonio Brown. He got Antonio Brown to go play in the XFL for a few million dollars. I guarantee you ESPN shows up for those games, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But you know what? It's like you just said. Are you going to be the one who's going to take millions to get him there? Are you going to be the one to take a chance and guarantee that money ask him to come in and look stupid if he starts this shit? Think it out.
Well, Jeff, agreed, but that's the point, though. It's is it worth the hassle is the question. So if you don't go bold and make a big move and bring in a guy, whether it's Des Bryant or Antonio Brown or Terrell Owens or a player of those ilks or somebody with a bigger name, nobody's going to pay attention. This is going to be a one-year wonder, or maybe they'll get the second season, but it won't get much better. The USFL juiced because guys like Herschel Walker and Doug Flutie went over there. Heisman Trophy winners were going to the USFL, not the NFL, and that's what put them on the map. And Steve Young, so that's what they need. And are they willing to make the bold move? That we're going to find out. But I will guarantee you that some point, maybe not this year, but through the summer, if Antonio Brown does not get a job and doesn't shoot himself in the head, because I think he's going to shoot himself in the head the way he's going, you may wind up hearing his name as a guy practicing with the Tampa Bay Vipers. We'll see.
Possible.
Yeah,
it's possible.
That's probably the only way the XFL survives, but we'll see. I will take a look tomorrow. We'll come back. We got to end the show now. I'm getting the knock at the door, so I will bring this to a close now. We'll be back Thursday night. with a regular show. Plenty to talk about this week. We have Steph Paynes from Led Zeppelin joining Jeff and I. Steph will be back for her third or fourth appearance on the show. Great, great guitar player and a good interview. So I'm looking forward to we're looking forward to Steph being on. But we're going to thank Alana Ray and Steve Lynch from Project 222 for joining us tonight for our special episode. Thanks to Jeff for giving up a few minutes of his Saturday night with his beautiful wife in the new home. And thanks to my wife for putting up with this tonight. So, Jeff, we'll end it the way we always do. We got a little button to clip, and then we'll come back Thursday and do it for real.
Oh, you got it, man. Do what you need to do.
Hold on.
Stage is that moose, you know. And
so when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
That's right. So for Jeff Tawinski, Nick Marino, Sam Bone, and myself, and everybody here at Hard Rock and Sports, I say thanks for listening, and we'll see you back Thursday night right back here at the Hard Rock and Sports channels, 6:30 to 9:30. Thanks, everybody. Have a good rest of your weekend. Jeff, I'll talk to you later.
You got it, dude. Be good, man.
Be good. Bye. Yeah.